We've been, as a church, we've been working through a series in the Proverbs, which means we've been looking at a whole variety of different themes. And as we've been in this series, and I've been doing some preparation and study for this series, I just want you to know that I often have this kind of sense and this kind of feeling. Like, on one hand, I've been trained, and I'm the pastor, and I'm called and I've been equipped to study the text and study it in its Hebrew and Greek, and I'm called to bring out the theme and the meaning and significance of the text. And yet, also I have this feeling as well that when we study these themes like the theme today, themes like business, I feel like, well, I know that many of you have much more hands-on the ground experience with business, like a theme like that, than I do. I mean, in all honesty, the closest thing I've come to running my own business is feeding my neighbor's dogs or mowing my neighbor's lawn. And many of you, you own your own legal practices, you manufacture goods and hire people and manage people, do this day in and day out. You are just involved in all of, and you produce goods and grow crops, and so there's this incredible world of business out there. And it just, when I sit down and have the opportunity to talk to you, it's just really remarkable. And so I come in here a little bit feeling like, oh man, I have to talk to people who are in many ways more expert in at least the ins and outs of it as I am. And along with that, I'm tempted also to think of this business world in this way also, that, you know, that again, it's this world that I don't really understand a whole lot about, I don't have a whole lot of access to, it's this whole kind of other entity. But then I have to step back and remember that the truth of the matter is that actually all of us are engaged in this world of commerce and business. It's not just like some people do and other people don't. All of us are engaged and connected in some way, shape, or form. And if we think about even that word, one word that's really deeply connected to business, and it's this word economics. That word economics, it actually comes from a word that we're all familiar with, the word house or home, oikos in the Greek. And even though economics might seem like a daunting term, the actual term at its core of economics just refers to the management of the house. And so like buying groceries and taking care of kids and providing for your family, all of that economic, this is fundamental stuff that we're all in some way involved in. So business does affect us all. But how does this world of business relate to God and to wisdom and to God's will? If we're Christians, we call ourselves followers of Jesus, how do we engage well and wisely in this world of business? Well, this week I listened to a lecture by a wise person, a man named Jeff Van Duzer, who at the time of the lecture, he gave the lecture a few years ago, he was the dean of the business school at Seattle Pacific University. Currently, he's the provost of SPU. And so he gave this lecture title, Why Business Matters to God. And he was making a few observations I thought were really like good, helpful observations that I think that many of us could kind of agree with or find ourselves making. And so he said this. He said, some Christians think of business as being kind of evil. There's this world of people doing deals in business, and there's a lot of corruption, and people take advantage of one another. And so there's this sense of, you know, it's a brokenness of this broken world, this engagement in business. And then he said, then there's on the other side, the other pole, if you will, there's also Christians who imagine business as being just in a wholesale good. And when they think of economic theories like Adam Smith and Adam Smith's concept of the invisible hand, they literally think that's the invisible hand of God, you know, when it comes down to it. And so you have these two kind of perspectives on business. And then he also observed that for many Christians, they think of business and engaging in business in very basic terms. And they think that it means basically simple personal virtue. And he goes on to say this. He says, it does seem to me that often our view of what God calls us to in business is limited to this sort of micro-personal level that is this, to be kind, to be respectful, to act with integrity. And we tend to think of the structures and paradigms of business as if they are sort of immutable, like gravity or something. But that's not true. Business is a social construct, and God cares a lot about how it is constructed. Business is a social construct, and God cares a lot about how it is constructed. We see this clearly in the Proverbs, these Proverbs we just heard read before us. We see God's care in the construction of business and in this relationships of business. And we see this in two main categories. I'll try to divide these Proverbs up somewhat neatly, attempt to do it neatly, in two big categories. We see principles, this guiding set of principles for business transaction. That's one category that we see. And we also see a second category that is a purpose or an end or the goal of business. We see, that looking ahead, what is this all about? Where is this all leading to? So principles and then purpose. Well, we might be surprised to read some pretty strong language in the Proverbs about some things that we might think of as kind of basic, like things like scales and measurements and weights and those kinds of things. And yet we hear in Proverbs 20, verse 10, it tells us that the Lord detests different weights and measurements. You could also translate it a little bit more strongly out of the Hebrew, that differing weights and differing measurements are an abomination. You could also use that word in there, an abomination to the Lord. So foreign gods and idols are an abomination to the Lord, but so are differing weights and measurements. And if we do a broader biblical study, we see that in other places in Scripture, in the law of God, the Torah, the Mosaic law, there is quite a bit of discussion really on weights and measurements. We find this in Leviticus and Deuteronomy as well, that the Lord abhors dishonest scales, dishonest weights, and he calls his people to use honest, just measurements. And we encounter, as we look at these Proverbs, a couple really heavy weighted words. These words that have a lot of traffic in the Scriptures. In chapter 16, verse 11, the NIV translation reads that honest scales and businesses are for the Lord, are from the Lord. But the word that the Bible uses there that we would translate, that our, at least the text translates as honest, is a real heavy word. And it's this word in Hebrew, it's this word mishpat. Mishpat. It's kind of, Hebrew is such a fun language to speak. You know, you sound like a Klingon or something like that. But mishpat. And this is a word that we would kind of, generally, again, translation, you're always losing something, but we translate it as justice, as what is just. You know, what is right before the Lord. And we read in the Scripture that the Lord is really passionate about justice, about mishpat. In fact, the Lord, we read often, a word that's paired with that word justice is this word to do. The Lord does justice, and particularly he does justice for the widow and the orphan and the oppressed. We read that again and again in Scripture. Mishpat's really important. And so the Lord demands that measurements be done justly with mishpat there. And that people not take advantage and not do injustice to others in differing weights and measurements. There's another word there that we also find that give us an added feel for what the Lord has in mind for principles with business. And it's found in chapter 11, verse 1. We find there that it says there that the Lord delights in accurate weights. That word accurate, it comes from this word, actually from the word shalom. Maybe you're familiar with that word, shalom. It's a word we kind of, again, tend to translate as peace, but it's more than that. It's a thicker concept. It means all things coming together properly and well, and they're woven together in God's, you know, his shalom, the way things ought to be, the way that creation should work. We could maybe translate it, God, the Lord delights in the whole measurement there. It's right. It's just. Well, when we think about this, we also reflect on the fact that we do live in a world with a lot of injustice in terms of how things are weighed out, how things are measured, and maybe in our modern transactions, we don't necessarily always use scales and weights and measurements and figures in the very literal sense, but there's a lot of weights and scales and measurements that go on in the whole economic world that that can be really corrupt, and it's really hard to understand and wrap our minds around it. We were thinking about this morning in our Sunday school series. In fact, we started a new series among the adults about ethics and morality, and we were reflecting there about the 2008 mortgage crisis, which they went on to explain some of how, there's all these different elements to it. Of course, it's very complex, but you had people that were basically taking fraudulent, they packaged them as being legitimate, but they were actually not legitimate, and then they were shorting them, and then buying them, and like shorting them again, and reaping in all this kind of profits, and it just caused all kinds of chaos, of course. This mortgage default swaps and insurance, and that's, of course, way beyond me, but there was a lot of unfair measurements, and a lot of course, the public, we did not know what was going on there. Wise business. Godly business means transacting justly. God cares about just business, and when business is done justly, when it's done with a mishpat, with a shalom, it brings goods and people together. It benefits the community. Another principle that we see is the principle of generosity. Read there that proverb: "People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell." One commenter, a commenter named Tremper Longman, he thinks that there's good reason to understand this proverb in the concept of thinking about it this way: as a farmer who knows that if he hangs on to his grain, so he's just harvested the grain, he's got a bunch of it, but if he hangs on to it a little bit more, he may be able to reap more profit. If he doesn't sell, he doesn't sell to, say, the baker or the miller or something like that. If he just holds on a little bit more, maybe he can get a better price for it. But, of course, that compromises all the rest of the business that needs to take place for the baker and the miller. And what we see here is that we have one person who is just trying to squeeze out as much profit as he can versus another who is more open-handed. Yes, he's making a profit, of course. He's got to make a profit for his business to continue on, but he's willing to trade and willing to sell and being generous in that way. And in that sense, thinking about more than just merely him and reaping his own little individual profit and reward. And so we see in the Proverbs that business is more than merely making the biggest profit. That business is about relationships, that business is about people, it's about community. In his lecture, Jeff Van Duzer defines business in two parts, and one of the ways he defines business is he says this. He says, "Business exists in order to provide the goods and services that would enable the community to flourish." Enable, it's looking out for others. Wise business, godly business is generous, it's open-handed, it serves others. Well, third principle we see in the Proverbs is what we could call the principle of shrewdness. Wisdom is, it's not naive, it's not unaware of deception, of troubles that people, that happen. We encounter issues in relationships in terms of business. Wise business understands the human heart. And so we see again and again that the Bible calls on God's people to be generous people. And yet here in the Proverbs, we're also told that living in wisdom involves being cautious too as well. It involves being cautious, particularly about offering security or loans or pledges to others. We could translate that Proverb 11, verse 15 is this: as there will be big trouble for one who puts up security for a stranger. That's another way to translate that. A few years back, I met a man through our connection, our work with Mission Solano, and this man and I, we had a real thoughtful conversation about faith, and so we made a connection, and I heard a bit of his story. He said that he had just come out of prison, And he had been in prison because he was working and he was doing some construction, but he got kind of caught up and couldn't pay his end of the deals. And it sounded like he got maybe caught up in some issues of, you know, maybe fraud and that kind of things. And he even shared that he was involved in gambling. It sounds like he was trying to gamble some money in order to get some capital to probably pay off creditors, and just a lot of big mess. But he had faith in Christ. He was trying to get his life back together. And as we met, one time we sat down together, and he told me that he had a plan. He was going to try to kind of get himself back on track. His marriage had fallen apart. His wife had left him. He had kids. And he asked me a really kind of a hard question to be faced with. He said, would I loan him $1,000 so that he had an idea where, because he loved to work out, and he knew that the community that he was connected to, a lot of people buy these nutritional supplements, and if I could give him $1,000, he could purchase a whole, you know, like a whole, I don't know, unit or something like that, and he figured he could sell these and then make a profit and maybe just kind of like, you know, get ahead a little bit. And I was kind of torn, because I was like, on one hand, yeah, that's really cool that he wants to, you know, use his gifts. He's obviously a pretty good salesman, and wants to get ahead. But I didn't end up giving him the loan. I think my wife probably is grateful for that, actually. But I didn't end up giving him the loan, and it was a really difficult situation, because I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I'm called. The Bible calls us to be generous with our money. And this, you know, this guy's trying to use his talents and gifts to get ahead. But there was also not a peace in my heart. And I think looking with a few years in hindsight, looking back, I think that was a wise decision, because it seems to me that he was involved in making a lot of risky decisions, and I might have just been actually enabling him to try to make more risky decisions and use me, or maybe use others in ways that weren't really even helpful, not only just to me, but to him either. And maybe, you know, may have helped him out, but the scripture does call us to be wise, to be shrewd with how we help, and generosity takes a compassionate heart, but it also takes wisdom. It also takes, you know, it takes understanding. It takes structures of accountability. We didn't really know each other. That would probably not have worked out so well, because I didn't really know all of his history that well, too, as well. I didn't know anything about that kind of business, so all of a sudden I would be investing in something I was unaware of. Shrewdness is something that the Proverbs point us towards as well. Under this category of shrewdness, we're also told that taking on debt comes with bonds and shackles. We should be very careful about taking on debt. We should be very cautious with it. And in most cases, it's wise to free ourselves out of debt as fast as we can. We're also told in the Proverbs that it's wise to take care of the way that it uses some illustration, but to take care of our boss or manager, to take care of the one who cuts the checks that we live on. You know, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. It's really foolish to chop down the tree that provides your fruit. It's wise, you know, to act with shrewdness in our labor relationships with those that, you know, again, that are overseeing us, that give us pay raises or maybe not, and these kinds of things. Wisdom calls us towards that. Being shrewd also means being wary of deception. Some people you do business with are people who would rather lose money than have their good name tarnished. These people are people of integrity. You can do business with them, and you know that it's legitimate business. They're going to look out for you, and it's going to be a really good dealing. There's other people who have no shame whatsoever. They're out for themselves. Their goal is to make as much money in the deal, whatever the cost. They will, you know, they don't care about the fallout from it. They're so self-focused that they will even boast in their shady dealings. You know, that's that proverb, bad, bad, bad. It's talking about a good, oh, this isn't that good, you know, let's lower the price. And then they go and they turn around and they're like, look what I got for, you know, like I totally took advantage of that, you know, that guy. You know, what a, you know, What a fool. He couldn't see. So that's a deceptive person. It's wise to watch out for people who engage in business in that along those lines. And the fourth principle we see is the principle of diligence. And again, in the Hebrew word, the original Hebrew word is really vivid, and it really helps us to see, I think, a lot of color in this proverb. That word diligence is a word that refers to being sharp. And so if you think about a sharp tool that is able to divide material quickly, it's able to do the job well. In business, it is wise to act decisively and quickly in order to take advantage of opportunities that come up. This is what, wise people, and also what that means, we could think of being sharp means being really sensitive to the environment of business around, opportunities, you know, what's the value of this and what's not the value of this? Okay, if I buy this and I could perhaps sell this to other potential buyers, I could turn a profit. So that's, you know, being sharp, being on the ball is another wise way of doing business. To quote the wisdom of farmers, also along these lines, make hay while the sun shines, you know. Timing is really important. Got to remain sharp in the face of the business environment around you. So the shrewdness, also that's there. The other major category that we see in the Proverbs is the purpose. And I'm told that one big term thrown around in the business world is this term sustainability. Maybe you've heard, I don't know if you've heard that term before. And sustainability in business evidently refers to whether or not the business can sustain, remain profitable, can do good business over the long haul, over the long term. So can it continue to hire people? Can it make products that the market will want and be purchasing? Is it sustainable, you know, for several years in the future? And in many business sectors, sustainability also includes a consideration on the business's impact on people. How is this going to affect, you know, the community, and also on the environment too as well? These are just elements of the business world. And so, for example, thinking about this concept of sustainability, clear-cutting a 300-year-old forest to make landscaping wood chips, that is an unsustainable business practice in the long term. You just can't continue to do that. But on the other hand, if you selectively harvest 300-year-old hardwood trees to make furniture that will last 300 years, you can continue to sustain that business as long as those that harvest the wood, those that make the furniture, you know, can carry on. And again, this could be also very difficult if cheaper furniture is being made overseas from industries that are clear-cutting Siberian forests. So again, wisdom means understanding all of these kind of elements that come into play here. Proverbs and the big narrative of the Bible teach us about the fundamental concept, though, of sustainability. And I mean, like, at the roots of everything, this big understanding of sustainability. The scripture teaches us about what lasts and what doesn't last, what lives and what dies, what endures and what comes undone. And we see this. We see this in Proverbs 10, verse 2, and Proverbs 11, verse 18, which direct us to the purpose or the end in business. It talks about righteousness there and life. And so our understanding, the way that we see and understand the world, it really matters. It matters so much to how we're going to do business, how we live. If we see the world as, on one hand, if we see the world as not really mattering, you know, it's going to be destroyed anyway, and so let's just take as much out of this world as we possibly can. If you see yourself as just really being the one important person in the world, you know, you only live once, and you just are going to try to get as much as you can, regardless of the consequences, then you are likely going to engage in business in a way that is very, very short-termed and very self-focused. It's all going to be about what you can make and your profit. But if you believe that this world belongs to God, that the creation matters to the Lord, that he's died to save it and is in the business of redemption, making all things new, if you believe that God has not and will not abandon his creation but is coming to make all things new, if you catch that vision in the Bible that's there at the end of Isaiah and at the end of Revelation, that vision of kings and nations bringing their wealth into the kingdom of God and culture and civilization, the goods of it being there, and the city, the New Jerusalem, heaven and earth meeting, if you get that vision, catch that, if that stirs you, if that moves you, then that will shape the way that you engage in the world of business. That gives you a more eternal, definitely an eternal perspective. That will direct you to ultimate things, things that last, and also give you hope that, as the proverb says, that even a little done in righteousness today, even at the expense of greater short-term benefits, maybe even at a loss, will somehow be connected to the perfect righteousness that will be revealed in the end. It has to be connected if it's connected in Christ Jesus, our resurrected Lord. It has to be connected. The gospel reveals to us this incredible thing. The gospel tells us that God is in business, and he wants us to be his business partners. We thought about this last week, in fact, in John chapter 15, verse 15, and we heard those words of Jesus to his disciples. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Where you believe in Christ Jesus, you're a follower of him, you're in business with the Lord. We're God's business partners. And I think we should confess sometimes in the church, we're often guilty of thinking of business people as merely those generous folks that give money to support the godly work of the church. And sometimes we can think of these folks as people that are really out there kind of getting their hands dirty in the, you know, in the corruption of the world. And maybe, you know, and like all of the mess and brokenness of it, but at least they're bringing the gold to be refined into the kingdom in some way, shape, or form, you know. But a fuller biblical understanding of God's kingdom, of his world, of business, it teaches us that those involved in business are kingdom workers, are partners with the Lord. Business people, they partner with God in redemptive work. They can. Of course, you know, business is a fallen enterprise, and we have to live and deal with that reality. But the call is to be partners with God in his redemptive work. And this includes creating meaningful jobs so that people can use their God-given identity to serve and to work and to make, you know, make income for families. That's a blessed thing. It's a beautiful thing. Business people are able to create opportunities for neighbors, again, to support families, to grow communities. Business can and ought to be done in a way that is then pointing to the ultimate righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to the flourishing of what's to come. That should guide us when we think about this. There's a man named Don Esteban. I read about him this week. He's a Nicaraguan farmer. And his story is he was born into a family that farmed for these wealthy, I think you call them dueñas in Nicaragua, these wealthy landowners. And I think it's still the case even to this day, there's a lot of wealthy landowners, and there's these people that don't have any access to land and resources, these multi-generational farmers who basically are serfs. You know, they just work, they work like at a pittance just to make ends meet. Well, Don Esteban, through a grant, through some mission work organizations, he was able to secure I guess it was a loan that he had to pay back then, to $1,500, not very much money in our terms for a business, but he was able to buy his own farm, his own plot of land, and he was able to purchase that and get that in 2006. And we should know a little bit, backing up a little bit, according to his story, he had this dream that he really believed was from God earlier, that he believed that he would own his own land and that there would be strangers from a different country that would visit him. And that dream came true because he was able to purchase his own land. And a few years later, an Iowa farmer couple came and visited him. And he's now a part of this relationship ministry of farmers from the U.S. and his farming. And they support one another. They encourage one another in their business practices together. It's connected to a ministry organization called Partners Worldwide. And Don Esteban, he's got this incredible calling that's related to his calling as a farmer. And he would love to see his neighbors and those also experiencing the hope that he has in running a business and working the land and providing these goods. And this is what he confesses. He says, "My life has totally changed. I have been called by God to do this. I am going to work in his garden until the day I die to bring God glory forever." Now, I think that, if you follow Jesus, that's like a summary that we all should be able to say. This is what it's all about, that whether we're engaged in farming or other forms of business or other work, other vocations, this is our calling, to work in his garden, partnering with God, until we die or the Lord returns, to bring him glory forever. Let's pray together. Lord of God, Lord, your scriptures, they give us this incredible vision for partnership with you in our world, and direct us to wisdom in relationship to our businesses and our business dealings and how we engage in commerce in this world and all of its complexity. Lord, give us deep wisdom through your Spirit, especially when we do deal with dilemmas in our businesses about, whether to do this thing or this thing, how to hire and fire people, how to engage in managing people well, Lord, for your glory. And help us, Lord, help us to be able to allow people to flourish and benefit the community and to be signs in that way. And allow signs, allow some light to shine in, a light that reflects your coming kingdom, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.